Call the session to order, please. This is the work session of the mayor and council of the city of Bisbee County of Cochise, state of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, December 19th, 2017, at 5:01 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein is excused. Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis? Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom?
Here.
City staff, Robert Smith? City manager, Ashley Coronado? City clerk, Aldo Orduño? City attorney?
Thank you. We do have a quorum, and Mr. Davis is en route. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss one item only, and that is discussion on establishing standard requirements for motorized tour operators. And this has been brought forward at the request of council members and the public, having to do with, in some cases, questions and in some cases, complaints regarding motorized tour operations. And so I've asked for a study session so that we can examine what we have, and based on that, if anything is needed, and I take the word if underlined, I'm not necessarily advocating that restrictions and rules have to be put in place if they're already there and they're being followed. And so with that, we have one member of call to the public, and that's Mr. Peyton Dean. Sir.
I was just asked to kind of voice my opinion about this, and I'm completely not opposed to new businesses opening and employing people and feeding the tax base. But I just have two objections to some of the motorized tours.
Could I get you, there you go.
I have two objections to some of the motorized tours, and it's the obstruction of traffic during the day where they're just stopped on the road, which is a problem. I live on Opera. It's a two-lane road technically, but it's actually only one lane, so it's problematic for me, you know, working. I drive around a lot during the day. And then just recently, and this is not a common occurrence, but there have been times late at night where I've had groups right outside my bedroom window, which is at street level, and shining lights in my bedroom window. And I work 6 or 7 days a week. I go to bed at 9, so that's a little disconcerting to wake up to. But I really think there's a middle ground here for everybody. And I just want to, you know, underscore that I'm completely not opposed to new businesses opening and employing residents of Bisbee. I think it's a good thing. We need more of them, actually. So, and that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Does anyone else wish to speak that hasn't signed up? We have a number of people in here. Yes, ma'am. Please come up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. There you go. If you wouldn't mind, ma'am, just speak right into it.
Okay. We have the Lavender Jeep Tours. I'm Ginger Moser. And I just wanted to say that in order to carry passengers, you have to have livery insurance. And in order to qualify for livery insurance, you have to have the safety equipment on your vehicle. And you have to have seat belts and all the other safety requirements. And it's difficult to get. We've had it since 2001, since we started our business.
And that's livery insurance?
Yes. It has to be livery insurance. No other insurance is acceptable.
Okay, pardon my ignorance. Is there a state law that indicates that?
Yes, there is.
In order to carry
carry passengers, you have to have livery insurance. And maybe you've seen the shuttles, you know, they go from like Douglas to Tucson, and on the back of it, it says livery vehicle. And so any vehicle that carries passengers has to have the livery insurance. It's L-I-V-E-R-Y.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Ma'am?
I wasn't sure what the protocol was, so I apologize for not signing up in advance.
Not a problem. This is a work session, so it is a little more relaxed than normal. We would request you provide your name, however.
Yes. My name is Erica Starks, and my husband and I own a home at 125 Brewery Avenue, which is a regular visit for both tours that come by. There was an incident that happened recently that sparked, I was told to send a letter to Mr. Higgins, and so I would like to, and that is in the public record, but I brought it with me, and I'd like to read it to the meeting and admit it as our comments about the tours. We are inundated daily by both companies. We appreciate the uniqueness of our town and its many diverse neighborhoods and structures. We understand that these companies provide a glimpse of our community for a certain segment of visitors. Unfortunately, it seems that these tours have become more intrusive and make us feel like we are living in a fishbowl. Our main concerns and issues are about the Bisbee Tour Company. The gas-powered golf carts are very loud, and we often hear the drivers shouting over the engines noise as they address their customers morning, noon, and night. They run at all hours of the day, and we have been woken up after midnight with loud conversations from these carts as they pass. Some drivers have parked their cars precariously in the gulch. We've been surprised that there have not been more vehicular or pedestrian injuries when parked in the blind curve outside our home. The passengers often get out of the carts to take pictures and walk right into traffic. Lastly, and unfortunately, we recently had a very unpleasant encounter with one of the evening tours, and I have to admit it was not necessarily my most eloquent moment. On Saturday, December 9th, around 9:30 p.m., we returned home to find a golf cart blocking our driveway and a man urinating on our studio. The driver took no responsibility, did not display any concern, and did not even apologize. A female passenger got out of the cart to try to offer us monetary compensation. We notified the police, and I also sent an email to the Public Works Director because I wasn't quite sure where to go, and he was kind enough to forward it to those who needed the information. Unfortunately, this makes us believe that this type of behavior happens frequently in other areas of town, not just on our property. We hope that there can be some type of changes and regulations for these companies, if not already in existence, whether it might be, for example, a set of daily hours of operation, or even a safety requirement that requires that the passengers remain inside the vehicles when stopped or when it is appropriate. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate your concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else in the audience? Yes, sir.
Hi, guys. I'm Richard Green. I live in Old Bisbee, and I do work for the Bisbee Tour Company. I'm a driver. And I'd just like to say I appreciate having the opportunity to work as a guide, as a historic guide, and it's a job that I can do without harming my body. And I appreciate meeting people and introducing them to our town and being a kind of a go-to person for knowledge if they have questions. You know, before I started working there, I was kind of on the fence about these golf carts, you know. But I, you know, with the town kind of leaning towards, you know, the motorcycles, I don't see much more of an issue with the golf carts. I mean, they're not as loud as the motorcycles, and we have way more motorcycles since I moved here. And I do think there's a noise limit on the books. I'm not sure, but in most towns, there's a decibel limit for the amount a motor can exceed, and the golf carts I'm sure it doesn't exceed that, but the town caters to the motorcycles, but doesn't enforce that ordinance. If it's on the books or not, I don't know. So as far as the gulch goes, it's going to be loud. But to all the other drivers out there, I would just say be courteous, pull over. I always try to pull over, let people pass me, and try to turn off the car and while I'm speaking so I don't have to yell and be obtrusive, and just be calm and courteous and patient. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we have tour operators here besides? Sure, of course. That's where I was going, Mr. Russell. Welcome, sir.
How y'all doing this evening? Good. So I'm owner-operator of the Bisbee Tour Company. Sure. The Bisbee Tour Company was established in 2013, and since then we have developed and grown the tours that we offer into providing nearing 5,000 tours with the ability to go out and explore and see more of what Bisbee has to offer, just not throughout Main Street, but in some of the other areas of where businesses aren't on the right route. So we provide not only to the tourists, but business as well in support of the community as a whole. We do our best and to work with the community closely. I know it's a very small, tight-knit community that I've been part of for nearing 20 years off and on. We follow all federal and state laws in our operating. Sometimes incidents do occur that are outside of our direct operational hands, such as the incident just brought up. When those do occur, I urge the public and community members to bring those to my attention. I can't always be on every single tour with all of our drivers. We employ nearly a dozen different drivers and in different positions with the company. So being on every single tour is not only difficult, but it's impossible. So when matters are at hand, you know, I'm not always aware of it, so I open my doors to the public at any point to come and bring those to my attention so that we can work out something for both, you know, an in-between ground for the company and the community. With that, I just want to state that the tour companies that operate here locally within Bisbee are not the only tour companies, both motorized or walking. There are other tour companies that come in from around the county, as well as Tucson and Phoenix, that both operate throughout the community. So setting regulations for locally based businesses is, I feel, against helping support local community growth, when we also have these other companies that will come in from outside areas, and then there's how do we regulate them within the same aspect. So, with that said, again, like, I welcome anybody. If there's further issues, please bring them to my attention so that we can work forward and moving better, working together. So, thank you for your
time. Thank you. Are you willing to answer a couple questions while you're
up there? Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, and thank you for being here. Number one. What are your hours of operation?
We operate daily, 7 days a week, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. here in the wintertime hours, and then during seasonal hours, so in the summer when we have a peak of business, we extend our hours to 7 p.m. and then offer nighttime tours and ghost cart tours upon reservation up until midnight. Now, the midnight tour is only offered on special occasions for Halloween and Friday the 13th. Otherwise, the latest we're out there is 10 p.m. unless we're doing our shuttles, which is just catering to those individuals needing a ride back to their hotel or homes from the bar, restaurants, et cetera, or, you know, from their car to the hotel and so forth.
Do you know what the horsepower is on your vehicles?
I do not know the horsepower, but I do know that they're set at a max speed of 12 to 15 miles per hour, which falls within the state law regulating them at no more than 25 mm-hmm. miles per hour. That's permitted to operate on any state road with the speed limit of 35 miles per hour. And there's additional codes within that that all fall under ARS Title 28 under the transportation section.
Mm-hmm. Have you, you were talking about bringing complaints to you. Have you received any complaints from the mobile home park overlooking the pit?
There was one incident with an individual driver, and it was due to a structure that they had that was not stable. And they had asked us not to use it, which we gladly, you know, no longer use the picnic table. I'm hoping that they replace it if it's not stable for us or their guests. But other than that, and the usage of the restrooms, which was handled immediately, all that has been taken care of as those issues come up.
Okay, because they did call me, and that's why I was bringing it up to you. I wanted to make sure that you'd had communications with them.
Absolutely. As soon as the issue was brought to my attention, I followed up immediately.
Okay. They, for some reason, think it's continuing, so you may want to find out what's going on with that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have livery insurance?
We do have the proper insurance to be able to operate as the tour company doing the tours and attractions.
What's the amount, you know?
Our policy, I believe it's a, we have several different policies to cover us both on cart and off cart.
Sure.
So I would have to look at the specifics to give you an honest answer. I believe it's $1 million coverage, okay. But I would have to clarify.
Okay. Well, one thought, Mr. Russell, was the fact that, as an example, the Bisbee 1000, which you're certainly familiar with, and others, are required to have liability insurance and to have the city as an additional named insured on that policy. And that's something that has been brought up and that the council will be discussing to see if that's something that wants to be done, with the thought that being that you're operating a business on the city's streets, and that if somebody were to fall out of your cart, as an example, we would potentially be liable also. So we would want that layer of protection. So that's why some of those things are being brought up.
That's understandable, and I'm willing to work with
sure.
whatever is needed to be provided for all tour companies. You know,
sure, okay. Council, any questions at this point? Mr. Higgins?
To have livery insurance, is it a requirement you have seat belts?
I believe it is, and we do have seat belts on all of our vehicles for the passenger seats.
You have seat belts?
Yes, that's correct. Now, when I originally took over the company at the beginning of the year, they were operating without, and that was one of the first changes that I had made in the first month. So all of our vehicles do have seat belts, and I just ordered and replaced one of those today. So it's something that we're continuously on top of, making sure that they're not only provided, but in working good working order as well.
Do you require them to use it?
Arizona State does not require the usage of the seatbelt. We do, in addition to other things, highly suggest that they use the seatbelt, and we require that any minor absolutely uses the seatbelt. Again, it's not a requirement by the state, but it's something that we highly suggest. In addition to, prior to every tour that leaves, we have communicate with our guests that they let us know if they have questions, need to stop for photography, or have, you know, additional information, restroom stops, etc., that they let our guides know so that we can accommodate them the best as to our ability.
Yeah, it would seem counterintuitive if you were required to have seat belts for livery insurance and that they weren't being used. I would think that livery insurance requires not only you have them, but that they get used. That's why my question. So.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I actually, this has been on my mind for some time now, because I have a difficult time stepping out of my house and walking up the gulch, which I do almost on a daily basis. And I also spend a good deal of my time sitting in Grassy Park. So I interact with my constituents on a fairly regular basis. And it's been brought to my attention for months now that they've been having problems in the neighborhoods with the golf cart tour with you. And sometime back, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a month ago or so, I came and I had a talk with you. I'm sure you remember. And we discussed some of the problems that I was having with my constituents. They were angry. They didn't understand what was going on. Their lives were being disrupted. They were on a regular basis. So I felt that it was time that we needed to, talk about this formally instead of informally. I think that at the time we discussed your hours of operation, and I think you did explain to me that you had a ghost tour going. You had some kind of tour where you were taking people around telling them ghost stories and stuff. Was that what you were doing?
Yes, we do have one. It's referred to as the Tales of the Bisbee Ghost Cart.
Pardon me, you have to speak just a little.
We do. We have one. It's referred to as Tales of the Bisbee Ghost Cart, or the Ghost Cart, which refers to different ghost stories as well as some of Bisbee's darker past and history.
And your ghost tour was going into City Park?
Yes, at that one time, we do have some handicapped drivers who, to be able to gain access and tell that part of the city, the story at City Park, with it being part of the old cemetery, they were entering the City Park through that access point, as the city had requests that we've done while we've helped out with different events as such. So being an open access, they understood it as a handicapped entrance to the park. Now that it's been closed off, there is no handicapped access, and it's been brought to my attention a couple times that some individuals have actually tried to use that and been unable to go and use the park due to this reason of it being closed.
Okay, it was my understanding that the only vehicles in the park were city vehicles and vehicles that had permission for like special events to set up and that sort of thing, that motor vehicle access to City Park wasn't that's not part of the city streets. That's my understanding. I could be wrong.
That may well be. However, it's not marked or noted as such, and just being an open gate that looks like a vehicle entrance that many could use as a handicap entrance. Mm-hmm. If it was marked otherwise, we would have not, used it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to share some of the things that, that people have, told me. If I was to make one of those word salad posts of all the words that people use to describe your tour, disruptive would be one of them. Loud, the vehicles are very loud, we live in these canyons and gulches, and sound is magnified. You can hear conversations. I live 17 steps up from Brewery Gulch, and I can hear every conversation that you're having when you stop next to the Mimosa Market, and usually your drivers usually say that Mimosa Market has been there like forever, and that's not a very good description, how long they've been there, because they haven't been there like forever. They've been there for a specific
for number, forever
pardon me they've been there for a specific number of years.
Absolutely. And
let me finish.
Oh, please go ahead.
Let me finish. And the people complain that you're up in the gulch 11, 12 o'clock at night, that they see no reason for a tour to be up there at night. Your drivers have been shining lights on houses and buildings. One particular night, I was sitting on my porch, and I heard, you know, a loud talking down in my parking lot across the street. And then somebody had, like, spotlights. There's two abandoned houses across the street from me that are in a really disarray. And your driver was shining lights on these houses, pointing them out. At that point there, I wasn't sure who it was. So I went down the stairs to see who was loud talking and shining lights on houses. And usually, when I hear people loud talking and shining lights on houses, you know, I think they're getting ready to break into them, or there's trouble in the neighborhood. And my next move should be to call the police to stop the disruption that's going on in my neighborhood. And this, this is what I routinely hear. I routinely hear about loud, disruptive, and also that the drivers seem to not be very knowledgeable about what they're talking about. They seem to be just saying, you know, whatever comes into their head. Like forever, instead of saying 1903, you know, like forever is a long time. And I know that you say you have a dozen drivers. It might be difficult to have a training program for a dozen drivers, but if these people are going to go out on the street and disseminate disinformation about our town and point out, and I asked your driver, why were you shining your lights on their houses? And she said that there's an interesting wall up there that I wanted to show them. There is no interesting wall up there to see, you know. In fact, in that particular part that she was shining lights on, there was no wall at all. There's no wall up there. So, you know, not only are you giving, the tourists disinformation, you know, it's kind of insulting to the residents. This has been going on and on. I don't want to, you know, embarrass you, with all the different things that people have said. But most people, their biggest complaint is that you stop in front of people's houses, you look into their houses, you insult the residents. I've heard people say that your tour people talk personally about the people that live in the houses. Oh yeah, that's the piano teacher up the hill. She's got 88 steps to her house. And this is just one example that I hear. I hear this all the time. And to single out residents, you know, I suppose if your driver knew that I was the city councilman, she would have been pointing up to my house saying, oh, there's where Bill Higgins lives. He's the city councilman. Not. And so giving out personal information about the residents is very disconcerting. You can smile if you want to,
smiling.
But this is what's happening.
You
can smile all you like.
Of ours
Pardon me, sir?
It is one of our biggest policies not to talk about individuals and highlight.
One of your biggest policies? You're going to have to speak into that microphone. I'm half deaf.
One of our biggest policies is not to talk about individuals or
well, your employees are violating
thereof.
That policy.
We need to be considerate of all the public people here.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to speak in the microphone, too.
We need to be considerate as a council to the public people.
Pardon me?
We need to be considerate. We need to...
Who are you talking to?
Everybody here.
Okay, let's move on.
Well, if I may, for a moment, counteract that, I absolutely understand that there are some levels of things happening that we have addressed. We have addressed personally when you brought them to my attention, and to my knowledge, I believe none of these instances happened thereafter they were brought to our attention, or if they're at all, when we had this discussion. As well as you have many keywords to note the company on, I also have hundreds of positive feedback, and I'm just going to pick up and read one here that we recently got, just so, you know, it can kind of be a balance to that. We just completed the combo tour, which is approximately 2.5 hours, and it was amazing. Lisa, our tour guide, And Lisa was our tour guide, and she was so knowledgeable about the history and every detail of Bisbee. This is the only way to see all the major sites as the streets are on the steep hills. You can never walk and do it all. Way too strenuous. The carts were very comfortable and the perfect way to get around. This tour is worth every penny. I highly recommend the tour, and we will definitely be back to Bisbee. They are also dog friendly. Thank you, Bisbee Tour Company. So this is just one of many. And yes, there are 3 out of over 500 bad reviews that I could have read as well. But it's pretty amazing when a member of Yelp calls you congratulating you for always having 5-star reviews, and that's highly unseen in most businesses. So as I understand that there are concerns and things that we could do to better ourselves and better work with the community, we are here to support the community and businesses there within. And I feel we do an amazing job at doing that. And I would just like to thank all of our drivers and everyone that has worked with us currently and in the past for doing an amazing job representing not only the tour company, but the community as well.
Yeah, I wanted to say a couple things, Mr. Russell. First of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for standing up there and providing information and graciously accepting it. And there are some issues, and I think that you will agree with all of us that we have some issues. Our biggest issue is the protection of the city and wanting to make sure that insurance is in place, et cetera, et cetera. We want to talk probably about hours of operation and these. There's a lot of what we've been hearing that comes back to you as the boss having to deal with your people to make sure that these complaints aren't going to continue to come forward. And that's what I would personally ask you to please, please do. We're not here to thwart business. We're here to encourage business and to make sure that business thrives and to help in any way we can. But it's a two-way street, and we need that cooperation back. And, you know, Mr. Higgins shouldn't have to have light shined in his windows and
absolutely, I agree. That's one of the learning curves as we were introduced to doing and providing nighttime tours and the ghost car tours. It was a learning curve. The company originated doing the daytime historic tour. Since then, we've grown and will continue to grow, offering different types of tours and experiences. So it was a learning curve and something, you know, that again, if I'm aware of any of these issues, you know, I will address them immediately and take care of, you know, what is needed to be.
Okay, so maybe you and Mr. Higgins can open up dialogue directly.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, is
what we're not. I'm not finished.
I know, but you've never looked this way. By the way.
Mr. Higgins, you were going to say something.
Yeah, you know, as far as educating your drivers, and actually having some real knowledge about the history of the town, and really seeing that they're polite, disruptive, not urinating on people's property, you know, or not having their customers. Yeah, it's all right. Take a leak here. Nobody's around. You know, you know, that sort of behavior is, it's just totally unacceptable.
I agree.
And the loudness of your vehicles are loud, and they give off noxious fumes, you know, and people complain about that. They are on the narrow streets at night. People have to back down or up a hill to get around them. Because often the drivers won't give way. They think they have the right of way over the residents. I've heard that. It's just a litany of complaints about mostly about behavior.
And I don't know, you got a dozen people that you you know, that you're going to have to teach manners to and train them and give them history lessons. You know, this is a big job. And really, I don't have a problem with the golf cart tour operating on the streets of Bisbee, but I do have a problem with you operating at night because it's dark. What are you looking at? You have to shine flashlights on things so people can see them. That seems to be, you know, what's going on. You're shining flashlights on walls, on houses, on people's houses.
No,
I don't understand any need for that whatsoever. I don't understand really any need for you to be operating on the streets after, you know, I don't know. The number six sounds good to me. I mean,
we have a special tour.
Pardon me?
We have a tour called the Night Lights Tour, which
highlights the features. Well, maybe you shouldn't have that tour.
The night lights and life of Bisbee. Have you driven around, taken a lot? I mean, the Gulch, I live in the Gulch personally.
You live on OK Street. Is that correct?
I do. I live above the Gulch. So all noise floats right up. I know by far the Bisbee Tour Company and the golf carts, yes, I'm not saying they're quiet. They are definitely not the loudest thing in the Gulch, by no means. Thank you. Secondary, as for our training procedures, all drivers go through a rigorous training process that is nearly, I would say, 50 to 60 hours before they're allowed to drive completely on their own. Through this process, they not only learn on their own through talking to locals, reading books, studying online, visiting the museums, as well as other key landmark locations that are open to be able to gain knowledge, as well as the route itself. From there, each driver is permitted to adapt that route and information to be able to tell their story. This story is of Bisbee, and if it was the same over and over and over recorded, A, that recording would be a lot louder than the speaking of my drivers, and B, it would be pretty mundane hearing over and over and over, not just for the local residents, but the guides themselves and the guest. Our guests come back multiple times, bring in many different types of people. So whether if they're local residents or local to Cochise County, every time they have a family or a guest coming into town, they bring them and they get a whole new experience and learn or see something a little more differently from each time they went before. So it's not just a one-shot thing where you do it and it's done. It's providing an experience for Bisbee. And that's what really we're all about, is creating that experience. So when you're here in Bisbee, you get to see as much as you can, learn as much as you can, and that's why we offer tours based on history, arts and culture, basic landmarks, as well as the nightlife, which is just a little more fun, and, you know, a few other experiences as well. So I would ask any of my drivers or former drivers, do you feel the training process was vigorous enough or challenging enough to get through, or did it just
come? We're not having a training session right here, sir.
Okay.
You know, I mean, to ask for input from your drivers right here at this work session, you know, you're the owner. You know, we're dealing with you.
And, that's right.
So I don't think that's such a good idea. It sounds very good. You know, Mr. Russell, what you're saying sounds very good. But in practice, it's not working. It just doesn't seem to be working out.
Hold on.
One at a time. Mr. Higgins has the second, Mr. Russell.
And you say that you have livery insurance and all the other insurances that you need, and that you have seat belts, and that your people and that the passengers use these seat belts. Have you said that?
Absolutely, yes, that's correct.
Well, that hasn't been. You know, that my eyes don't see that. That's a different reality than I see, and it's a and your reality and the reality of the people that live in the neighborhoods are very different. It's just Very disruptive to the people, particularly on these narrow streets, up on High Street and Timby and Opera Drive and OK. You know, the streets are narrow. You stop in front of people's houses. I keep saying the same things over and over again, but you keep telling me that, oh, no, this isn't really happening, or we're working on this. And I really don't care if, you know, about the information that you give out. I have no control over it. The only thing that we have control over as a city, to make sure that you're doing this legally, you know, that you're doing this within the regulations, and also it's within our purview to set your hours of operation. And what I would like to see you do really is voluntarily stop running your tour at 6 o'clock. That's what I would like to see you do. And then that would kind of save us the trouble of regulating this. But, there's a possibility that you don't want to do that. And then, then the council has to act. I don't want to see, I don't want to impede your business. I know that there's other, it takes a while, no doubt, to learn the history of Bisbee. It's it's got a rich history, and there's a tendency, I think, to embellish here. I hear local people that embellish all the time. I hear stories which I absolutely know are not true, but residents deeply believe these things, and to talk to residents about things that, even the residents that are absolutely not true, to be disseminating, untruthful information. I have no control over that. That's entirely up to you and your tour company. And sure, you can get letters saying how wonderful you are and how wonderful your history of the town was, but they have nothing to judge it against. They're judging it against what? What's their alternative history? They just learned the history from you. So really, I really feel that for the citizens of Bisbee that live there, it's just gone. It's just too much. It's too much of a disruption in their lives. They don't have lives if people are running up and down their streets, making noise at night, talking loud, looking in their windows, urinating on their. Studios, at some point we have to say, just stay out of our neighborhoods after 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty much all I want to say.
All right, sir. I did want to mention one thing. You had said something a few minutes ago or quite a while ago now that was really incorrect. We are not proposing, this is not, the word local was never used in this. We all tour operators, whether they come from Casa Grande or they're out of the Copper Queen Plaza, are going to have to look at the same rules and regulations, Mr. Russell. So I wanted to make sure you understood that.
Absolutely, I understand that. I just don't know how that's able to be regulated.
Well, we regulate it by finding out if they're here. And
if we don't know they're operating, we cannot regulate them.
Well, right. I will say I'll follow up on that in a minute. But Mr. Davis.
Yes, I apologize for being late. I'm representative from Ward 1 as well. I've heard many of the same things that Mr. Higgins listed. But one of the things I have heard is that people, even though people are complaining, nobody wants to see your business stop, go out of business. It's not about that. It's about perhaps. changing your hours so that it doesn't run so late into the night and it feels a little less intrusive. Perhaps staying out of some of the residential areas at certain times of day. That's what we're trying to work out here tonight. Not to put you out of business, not to stop the golf cart tours. I mean, it'd be nice if they were electric. That would be great. I don't know if that's ever a possibility
for
you.
They won't make it up to the hills, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because people have complained about the exhaust and about the noise. Of course, we know the motorcycle is louder, but it's the time of day that the carts are running that you hear them. I mean, I live on Tombstone Canyon. I hear them go up by my place. So that's what we're trying to do here, Mr. Russell, not not put you out of business. We want to have some regulations that work for everybody.
Now, may I also ask, if regulations are set in place, how are those different from regulations from personally operated golf carts and other vehicles, ATV vehicles, because there are six other privately owned golf carts that drive around the community as well, some much later than what we've operated at.
There obviously is a difference if somebody is, if it's a business versus a personal use. But it's like anything else. If that personal use golf cart is stopping and shining lights in people's windows and whatever, then that would be dealt with also. But a business can be dealt with differently because it's actually using assets of the city in order to operate their business.
Okay. Which makes sense, and I agree on just there's a point where some are operating in the same way, but not technically a business. But furthermore so in that, we have since, we had our discussion stopped operating on a routine schedule after, 6 p.m. We only are doing those by reservation and request only. As I explained, we met privately that was a seasonal thing, the daily, and as the season with Halloween season coming to an end, they wouldn't be as often or rapid. And I believe I've held up to my end of the bargain on that.
Ms. Hans.
I have a few general questions, not necessarily directed to you, but also any other motorized vehicle operator that tour. Operation, feel free to jump in. I was wondering if there's any type of orientation to the riders themselves as far as not getting out of the cart, using the seat belts, just basically safety and, any kind of an orientation as to where you're going to go and what you're going to see. And not all of it, but as much as possible can be given to them at the beginning so that you're not sitting there telling the same story that you could tell in the beginning when you're stopping by a house, to make it less time stopping, first of all. And the second thing is whether the riders, or not the riders, the operators are know to pull over. Know to let other people go by. I mean, these are simple, as Richard was saying, they're courtesy.
Absolutely.
And is that part of your orientation for the drivers? I mean, it sounds like to me, with a lot of the things that are going on, that they can be taken care of pretty much with education and telling the drivers, okay, these are the type of things that are happening, and we have to stop this. So this is what we need to do. And basically giving them instruction as to what they're supposed to do. And if they don't, then, ax them or something. Because that's ridiculous. If they're not abiding
right.
by the policy
right.
and they're causing problems and they are being disruptive, then they shouldn't be drivers. So.
Absolutely. So, which is the case, every case or incident is a case-by-case scenario that we handle. We have let people go in the past because they were unable to live up to that. And every tour that goes out, the drivers start off by introduction of who they are, what tour they're going to be going on, kind of highlighting what they're going to see. They're informed of if they need to stop to take pictures, if they had like more detailed information. To if they need restroom breaks, et cetera, to let the drivers know. And we accommodate each tour. That's one of the things that makes our tour especially unique, is they're all personalized individual tours. So they're all small groups. So we can cater to kind of almost every need. If it's raining, we run inside one of the landmarks, we go shopping for a little bit, whatever that guest would like to do, to get out of the rain, and then we continue on the tour. That's one of the many benefits that we're able to offer.
But But do you have, you know, instructions for them that they don't get out of the cart and things of this nature? Or, you know, if you do, don't get out in the middle of the road, for pity's sakes. I mean, sometimes people are just stupid.
Absolutely. And that's some of our golf cart tours are an all riding tour, and others are an on and off cart experience. So one of the things that I've started letting all the drivers know is to, when you're dismounting the cart, to get off on the opposite side of the road and things as such, you know, to kind of scoot over and access that.
I mean, and these are very, they're common sense.
Absolutely.
Know that they're common sense, but it's something that constantly has to be repeated when you're on a tour like that, because people get excited and whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
The other thing, which just left my mind, dang it.
Oh, you're finding your mind.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about it while you were talking. I didn't want to interrupt you. I should have written it down.
Was this something to ask him?
Yes, and I can't remember.
Sounds like two syllables.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
But anyway, I just do want to, I think that you need to take a look at your orientation for your drivers. And I think everybody does, and this isn't just for you, and to really make sure that we're not, oh, I know what it was, that we're not just accommodating the group that's in that golf cart or whatever the motorized vehicle is, but we're also being
courteous to the
courteous
public,
to the people that live in the Gulch, that live in Old Bisbee.
Agreed.
Because they do have a lot of tourists, and sometimes it does feel like that they are just totally being inundated and that they have no life. But we are a tourist town, after saying that. So it has to be a compromise on both sides there.
I agree.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anything, Mr. Lindstrom?
So you've been approached?
Into the mic.
You've been approached with your complaints? Multiple times, and
I had been approached by one person of the public, and that incident was kind of handled right away. And then later in time, I was approached by Mr. Higgins, and we had a discussion at the location of the tour company. Since then, the only run-in that we've had, which is completely unfortunate and something that we do not condone and are highly not happy that it happened either, was the urination incident. And I would like to personally apologize. And, you know, it was something we highly do not condone those actions. We set in forth procedures so that they can let our drivers know, you know, hey, if I got to go, we'll get you to the closest place that is appropriate. When an adult leaves our tour and walks away, we cannot be responsible for what the actions of any responsible or unresponsible adult takes. Whether, you know, it's not a ride at Disneyland, they're not chained inside the golf carts. It's not like a, we'll let you out when we're done. If somebody decides they want to leave and get off the ride or the tour, they have every right to do so.
I mean, I'm sure things like that happen. I'm sure people's peed on a Disneyland ride. I mean, it happens, but you hope that wouldn't happen, you know, very often. Have you been notified of shining lights in people's houses?
At the very beginning when we talked, absolutely, and the drivers no longer have lights that they take along with them besides a small one for walking areas to make sure they're not gonna trip or fall anything. That was one of our initial drivers who had the spotlight, and since then he's A, no longer with us, and B, you know, that's been kind of handled. As soon as I found out it was happening, I was like, whoa, not cool. Like, you know, I totally understand. I live in that area again. So I get it on that level.
How many houses would you say you passed on a close proximity on a tour?
I couldn't give an estimate, to be honest, because we, different tours cover different areas, and each of the routes were designed to highlight different areas and do not cross over each other. So again, you can have multiple experiences coming back. So it'd be a little different for each tour that we offer.
Mayor Pro Tem, no? Mr. Higgins?
The thing that makes, you know, Old Bisbee a unique place is that it grew up before the automobile, you know, and most of the roads, you know, were, what, mule paths, walking, things that people walked up and down. It's not a place that was built for motor vehicles. It grew. And so it's a unique situation. And, of course, everybody lives as close, everybody wanted to live as close as they could to the mine. So, you know, this Old Bisbee is very unique. We're very close together. How many houses do you pass in any given night? We'll just count the houses, you know, that are on every street that it drives on, and you're going to get a large number, and because you're right next to it. And really, my you know, you admit that there have been some problems, you know, with certain drivers. You have acknowledged that, and I appreciate that you know, that you say yes, we have had some problems. Oh.
Any business,
and it seems like you're willing to address those problems.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, you know, I'm, you know, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you acknowledge that you've caused disruption in our neighborhoods, and it is. You could smile all you want.
Well, we're in the Gulch, sir. I mean, how much disruption? We're in the infamous Brewery Gulch.
Pardon me?
I said we are in the infamous Brewery Gulch. Listen, how much disruption can a golf cart create?
Hang on here a minute.
Streets that are narrow, as you stated. Golf carts, ATVs, mopeds are highly sought after vehicles that we should be seeing much more of. They're great. They're energy efficient. They're gas saving. They're small, narrow roads, hills around here. They are the perfect vehicle, and I suggest that more residents have them. Some have. Six, as I mentioned, in the past year have gotten these vehicles because they also realized how great they are.
And we're slightly off subject. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Well, you are changing the subject, and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And I said this once, I'll say it again. You have acknowledged that there's been some problems. You acknowledge that you're going to try and work on those problems. I'm satisfied with that, but there's no way that you can be in our neighborhoods after dark. I don't see any reason for you to be in the neighborhoods. I, myself personally, I would like to see your hours limited. You can do whatever you want in the daytime, but I see no reason why the citizens of Old Bisbee have to put up with this after dark. You know, we live here, this is our neighborhood. You know, a lot of people have expressed to me that they feel like animals in a zoo because, you know, they feel like they're extras in a Bisbee movie. Right. That's, and a lot of these people were here a long time. They've been here all their lives, and a lot of them have been here since that influx has started in the 70s when this was a fairly peaceful little place. And it has changed. I understand we're a tourist town. This is, I understand that. And people have to accept that changes are going to come along with that. It's not a problem. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to take these people around and show them, you know, the wonderful neighborhoods that we live in. But I see no reason for you to be there after dark, okay. Personally.
Thank you, sir. Again, thank you. You have a number of drivers. Would you just raise your hand so I know? Yeah, great. Thank you.
So that's about the
reason
half
I was,
of our
the
staff.
Reason I was bringing that up is some of these people need to know what these issues are.
That's why we brought
them. They get to hear it firsthand.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted them to come.
No, but we don't talk from the audience. You can come up here and just and talk.
Anything else?
Yes. Again, thank you, Mr.
No,
Russell.
Thank you for your time. And again, you know, our doors are always open. So please feel free to come by and, you know, bring anything to our attention.
Great.
Can I just say one thing? I would like to talk to you further on this because I do have some things that I'd like to just want to get some more information.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Is anybody from Bisbee Limo Tours here? BZB Limo Tours. They had an office in the Copper Queen Publishing. Doesn't ring a bell? Okay. I do need to know should they reappear. They were in operation until I asked them to this meeting. So did we have, somebody was raising their hand in the audience? Okay, well, first of all, we're going to get to you. Do you want to speak?
Yes.
No, I'm talking to her. Okay. All right. You're next. Yes. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dorothy. I am a driver with the tour company. The councilman in the hat, he did pull me off of one of my tours, and he did express some of his concerns. At the time, I had a man about 80 years old and a very disabled lady on the tour. And part of the highlight is showing them the old abandoned buildings where the no peeing sign is. He brought it to my attention that he didn't appreciate the lights being shown because they did not get off the cart. It depends on the individuals. That's why they have the golf carts, is for the people that have disabilities that come on vacation, they're able to enjoy just as much as people that are healthy. He did bring it to my attention, and he did say that I was using his, because I didn't know. It's the way I was trained on the tour. I did not know it was his personal driveway. And since he brought it to my attention that it was his personal driveway, I apologize, and I have not used it since.
Just thank you, ma'am.
Things are being taken care of.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Nelson.
Good evening, folks. I'm Tom Nelson. I don't live in Old Bisbee anymore, so I really don't care, but but I do, really. And they are kind of noisy, but still, at the same time, they're helping, promote tourism in the town. That's important to our town. So my only concern, though, would be the concern that you brought up, and I'm not sure that the city of Bisbee could be an additional insured. It's not an event. It's not, it's a business that's ongoing, and there's state laws that address that and the insurance. So if you guys go to az.gov and check out livery, taxi, limousine services for the insurance requirements, that's what's got to be required, because they're hauling people around for hire. So they do meet that definition, even if they're in the golf cart. And if that's the kind of insurance you've got, that's great. But I don't know that that's the case. You kind of waffled on that issue. So that would be the biggest concern. And it's at a state level that is required. And not too many years ago, they started requiring that these vehicles actually have a sticker issued by the state Department of Transportation for that. So I think there's existing law that covers this in regards to all that. Locally, it may come down to times and, excuse me, times and things like that. So you might just want to look into all that. And that's
Thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Council. My name is Alexis. I'm the resident innkeeper for the Inn at Castle Rock. That building is a very historical building, and I have the Bisbee Tour Company coming for the ghost tours. This is a great thing for our community. We don't have a lot of things, and I have guests that ask me, hey, what are we going to do? What is there to do here in Old Bisbee? How do I get there? Parking is very, very limited in Old Bisbee. So I suggest to my guests that they keep the parking and to call the Bisbee Tour Company, because they will shuttle them anywhere throughout Bisbee to show them the greater part of our town. This is one thing that is really important for our town, is to get the community together. Yes, a lot of Old Bisbee has residents in it, but that's what makes our town great. It's because this is Old Bisbee. There's nothing like it. I have so much guests saying, oh, it compares to Jerome and everything. No. We are Old Bisbee. They have a ghost tour thing that comes, and it does run after 6 p.m. Without the darkness, sir, there's no sense in giving that magic. That's why they have that. There's so many people from around the world. No, sir, don't smile or laugh about what I'm talking about. This town is magical. And without giving that experience, there's no sense in tourists to come to our town to bring our businesses money. That's the only thing I have a problem with, is that nobody, no tourist has any access to get to those parts where the gulch, which was the red light district of our town, where all the street people and everybody is there, they make so much noise. I live at the inn at Castle Rock. It's up further up the canyon, so I don't get that much noise. I don't experience that. But what I do have problems with the locals is them speeding down our roads. Okay, that's the problem we have.
We're off subject now.
I have guests that can't even cross the road without fear of locals, not tourists, not people from out of town. You could tell.
Okay, we'll bring that up. We'll bring that up at a different time.
Yes.
Yes, but, ma'am. Thank you.
But without them, I have nowhere else to give my guests to give them that experience. Okay. I'm not from here. I'm not. But to give my guests an option to explore our town, to give them that magic.
Great.
That's the only way. There's nothing else.
Thank you, ma'am. We're not going to thank you, though. I'm sure that was for us. Mr. Eggins, is there something you need to say?
I'd like to explain Brewery Gulch just briefly.
Is it on topic?
It is on, well, yes.
I mean about...
Yes, it is on topic, and it speaks to, you know, just what was brought up by a couple of people. The section of Brewery Gulch, it's the entertainment district, pretty much ends at City Park. Once you get past City Park, you're in a residential neighborhood. You're no longer in a commercial neighborhood. There's only one commercial business in Brewery Gulch that's past City Park, and that's Mimosa Market. I have I have letters from both the owners of Mimosa Market, and they express their displeasure. They do not want people from the tours coming into their store. It's a residential neighborhood. Yes, it's loud in Brewery Gulch, but it's very quiet in Brewery Gulch once you go around the corner and get a little bit away from downtown. So when we say Brewery Gulch, we're talking about two different places. We're talking about the neighborhood that the people live in and the entertainment district. So making noise in the entertainment district is a time-honored tradition, but just don't confuse that with the residential part of the gulch. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the explanation. As a result of this meeting, what I personally would like to see to start conversation with the council is to ask staff to take this information that's been provided and to come back to the council with recommendations having to do with if there's recommendations as to hours, what that recommendation is, if there's recommendations of requirements for insurance, what that is. I'm bringing insurance up again because in business licensing, I mean, that's a no-brainer. But the other group that I mentioned, I have reason to believe that they weren't complying with any of that information or any of that, those requirements. And so I want to make sure that that we have something that indicates what you have to have. And if they bring in a tour company from Casa Grande or Tucson or wherever, as long as we know about it, then they have to comply also. So that would be my take on what we, where we leave tonight is having staff take that data. The city manager's taking notes, and we have Public Works here. We have the police department here. Those are two big players in this situation. So, Mr. Lindstrom?
I just figured this would probably go to like a committee first, you know?
What, sir?
Or a committee, one of our city committees, where they can kind of do a lot of the research on this and kind of set guidelines for something like this.
What committee would you suggest?
What committee would you suggest? I don't
know. Well, I'm not suggesting a committee, Mr. Lindstrom.
Okay, I'm suggesting a committee. I don't know which one would deal with this, but it seems like something that a committee issue could deal with.
Well, typically, if it's going to be an issue that it's going to come back before council, it would go from committee to staff to us anyway. So I'm simply indicating I'm not aware of a committee that this would fit within. If I'm wrong, that's great. Let's give it to a committee. Otherwise, I think that it needs to go to staff and have them bring us some recommendations. Mayor Pro Tem.
I guess something has not been mentioned. I'm likewise a tourist and just got back from a tour. And seemed like universally what's being used today is a speaker with earphones. And that certainly would be one way of reducing the sound into the neighborhood. Certainly in the tours that I participated in recently, couldn't even hear the guide because everyone was speaking in a much more subdued voice, and an additional cost of that, but that certainly is something I would like to have considered, particularly in terms of evening tours, if we continue with those. Certainly, I live in Warren, so I don't have tours. Certainly, when the trolley existed, I was part of that tour, and certainly I do and visited periodically by Jeep tours, and certainly I've always taken the attitude that I'm flattered that someone is driving by my house and pointing it out, and I've never stood out there in the street to listen to what is being said about me, but I'm assuming that it's positive and it's flattering. But again,
you're saying that an oil baron lives in that house.
But certainly the situation is, I'm reluctant to even make reference to my own experience because certainly the experience on the Gulf is quite different from where I live in Warren. But I do see, again, I just came back from being a visitor, and certainly that is certainly an important part of that. Sure. Visitor experience is learning about the site where you are and having someone to share experience with you. And certainly we do want to be factual in terms of information, but certainly today seem like we're in an era we call alternative facts are being presented at all levels. And I say that as a joke, but we do want to be as accurate as possible in terms of the genuine history of our community. So I do recommend that we present this to staff and they meet with all parties and get back with us with some suggestions. Hopefully this can be worked out through mutual agreement from everyone. If regulations are necessary, we'll do that route as well.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins, are you satisfied with...
I think it'd be a good idea to have the staff take a look at this and come back with some recommendations.
Thank you, sir.
I agree.
Mr. Davis.
I do have a few things that are specifically I'd like to see included. That would be, how many tours do we have a day? How many are at night and how frequently? And also, the last one. Oh, the basically, are they following the rules of the road? Because we keep hearing about being obstructed, traffic being obstructed. I have heard from one individual, and this wasn't in the gulch, that she's almost been run into two or three times because of the way that the vehicle was parked and blocking the access road, and there was a blind curve. So those are some of the things I'd like them to take a look at.
Are you asking to come speak?
Yes.
You have? Yes.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Schmidt. I work for the tour company.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually worked there since David started. And so when I moved here, I lived on the path before David was from the old tour company. I lived just off Tombstone Canyon. And sometimes I would go out on my porch and there would be people there. And the way that I took it was, these people are coming from all over the world to see and look at the house that I live in. How lucky am I? As a driver, the way that I view my job is to share with people how great this town is. And I do the best that I can to respect every person that I come across, whether it's through work or personal. And so when I drive, I pull over, I let people pass, I back up uphill. I clean up high road on my own. You know, I do all kinds of things that people don't even notice. But I do it because I love this community and I love being here. And to be able to share it with other people, particularly who cannot get around, is very important. And so I respect the community a lot in my heart, which is why I enjoy the job that I do. But there have been times when I've been driving that I've been disrespected. And I would like for the respect to be going both ways. It's a two-way street, just like most roads in Bisbee are two-way streets. And so it doesn't necessarily come to the actual rules of the road. It's whoever can get out of the way easiest. And a lot of the times it's me because I'm a smaller vehicle and I do whatever I can to make sure that I do that. With that being said, a lot of the times I've been out on the road, I have not been treated very well. I have been actually assaulted, sprayed with a hose from up top. I mean, I'm down on the street. I'm nowhere near their house or anything. I was sprayed down the whole tour with a hose. I've been yelled at. I've been zoomed by speeding vehicles, intentionally zooming the cart about that close to me, going about 40 miles an hour. And so I understand the respect and it of people's privacy and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that they don't have valid points. I'm just saying that I hope that it can go both ways and that we can work this out by communicating. And making the choice to listen to what each person has to say, to validate what they're saying, and to respect what they're saying, even with your body language, your tone, your all those things. So when someone's talking, so that's my point. It's just to go both ways.
Yes, ma'am. Totally agree.
You know, feedback. sometimes it is difficult to wrangle people on the cart because they do get excited. But so anyway, that's my point. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. It is indeed a two-way street. The reason the meeting was called is because I hope everybody understands the reason now, is so that we could discuss this rationally. If we ignore issues such as this, they tend to get much, much bigger. And so that's why I appreciate the fact that we can take care of things in public rationally like adults. And so I want to thank everybody for the most part, rationally acting like adults. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. I'll see you at 7.
Thank you.